Our first reading this morning is in the New Testament from Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, I want to begin reading with verse and reading through verse 21. The Word of God. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Thus far we read from Paul's letter to we'll be momentarily looking then the Old Testament at Psalm 96. Now if you will turn with me in the Psalms to Psalm number 96. Psalm 96. Reading through the verses of that Psalm. Again, the Word of God. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name, tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared among all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him, strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the word is established, it shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness. Or reading God's most holy word. Now, as we seek to hear God's word to us this morning from Psalm 96, to really set the context for what we are looking at here, I want to take just a brief look back, or a brief look to the previous Psalm, Psalm 95. Both Psalms are about worship. There are certainly, in fact, many other Psalms which deal with, specifically, about the call to worship. Now, perhaps the most complete Psalm concerning a definition of worship, God calls His people, His covenant people, to worship. That is, to come to a public gathering of God. It involves coming into the presence of God, very special, very face-to-face way, into the Holy of Holies, if you will, that we come in public into the very presence of God, and there we acknowledge that He is the sovereign God, and we acknowledge that as the sovereign God we bow down to Him. We submit our lives to His will. We could deal at length with all three of those aspects. Coming into the presence of God, God is sovereign, we submit to His will. But those are the essentials of what worship is. Now Psalm 90 goes on the basis of the definition of worship, to talk about worship in terms, as I have titled my sermon, Ephesians. Question will raise that question for you in a moment. Why do we worship? So we understand as worship is defined, and that's the context. It is my purpose to look, as I have begun working with Psalm 90, to this morning, we're going to be taking more of what you might say a bird's eye view of the psalm. What are that are included in that? Certainly not going to be exhausting all in detail. Well, and if the Lord wills that I'm able to be back here for a few more Sundays, plan to then see her with specifics that we do find in the psalm. But here's the question I would like to pose for us to consider together this morning. Why do we worship? Why do we worship? Now, certainly we do understand that all mankind is created in the image of God. It's gone into every person who has ever lived and ever will live. Heart is that they're a creature. And every person who has ever lived, whether they recognize it or not, has their God, and He wants. We are religious creatures. But yet again, I would ask the question, why do you, why do I, why does anyone worship the God of the Scriptures, the God of creation, the God who has sent His Son to die on the cross for His people? And it is really quite simple. It is because God has determined to save people unto Himself. God is people. You will remember the words of Christ Himself in Psalm, where He says, "I am the good shepherd. I call my sheep, I know them, and they follow me." You see, Jesus and God, through Jesus the Savior, has called out of darkness, out of rebellion, out of unbelief, a people unto Himself. In other words, to salvation. I worship because God has called us out of darkness and has placed a new light in our hearts, opened our eyes to the truth, and has caused us to see that we are saved by the blood of Jesus. Now, certainly there are a number of ways to say, as we come face to face and as we acknowledge, as we believe in that good news of the gospel, I respond what God has done for me. I'm happy to give my life to God. But the psalmist understands in this context, understands that you will see, and you will see that again and again throughout the Scriptures, that there is the need and the desire. First of all, the need and the desire to express our confession of faith, our acknowledgement that we are saved, and we respond to God in formal public worship. So what the in this psalm express our response to God for the salvation that He has provided for us. The point simply being is that salvation leads to worship. Worship is a response to having been saved by the blood of Christ and coming to faith in Christ. It is impossible. It is impossible that there would be someone or anyone who would say, yes, I know God has sent His Savior for my sins. I believe in that. The Lord is my Savior. But I make no response of faith. In fact, I'll take that a step further. A response which is expressed in worship. To truly say, it's very important that we understand the concept here. To truly say, I love Jesus, for example. I believe in God. I confess Christ my Savior. But I just don't have any time or interest. I've got too many other things going on in my life right now. I really don't need to gather. I'm just fine by reading my scripture and praying to God by myself. And God knows I believe it. That's an impossibility. That's an absolute impossibility. And a contradiction. Where do we see that so clearly? In this psalm. The very first words of the psalmist in 96 is, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. What is this? What's that talking about? What is this new song? This phrase, sing to the Lord a new song, on several other places in the Psalms, particularly, for example, in Psalm 33, again in Psalm 98. But to understand the context, or to understand what that is all about, it is particularly pointed to see that in Revelation chapter 5, where we have a picture of the new heavens and with all of God's people, with the Lamb who is Christ in the middle, responding to that that is accomplished for us, and we that they sang a new song. Now, without going into a lot of detail about this phrase, and it is a little bit of a difficult phrase, you will find a number of different statements about that in various commentaries. But essentially, it is a phrase that came out of the ancient world in terms of the announcement of the good news, particularly in of the victory gained on the battlefield. When the battle was over and the victor gained the victory, the victor shouted with joy and excitement and celebration that the battle is over and the battle has been won. They celebrated the victory by, and then this phrase used, singing a new song. It's not in the sense of we hired someone to come in and write a new song so that we could sing about this celebration. No, it's the idea of understanding and responding to this victory. The point is simple. You have salvation. Think of the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 40, when he announces, comfort, comfort ye my people. And says very specifically in that announcement to sinners, comfort, comfort my people. He says, their warfare is ended. Your iniquity was pardoned. As the announcement of salvation. So, a people who know salvation. Sing a new song is what they do. It is the expression of the saved. It is the shout of victory over death and sin. The reason, let me underscore this again. The reason Your worship is that you are saved. It is the occasion for worship. It is the celebration of victory. Now again, the psalm is about what we can perhaps more specifically identify as formal corporate worship. There are other ways in which the scripture would speak about in our lives and our privacy of our life and so on, in which we praise God, we enter into a worshipful sort of response to God. But we're talking about public gathering together of God's people, corporate worship, but those who know God do. Who know the salvation which God has accomplished. We do not worship. We make a very fine distinction here, but a very, very important distinction. We do not worship so that we might, through our worship, find God. Yes, God is presented in worship. We do not worship so that we might gain points with God, and eventually through our worship, we have earned our way to salvation. We worship because we are saved. It has been announced. We have been called unto that by God. That's, if all else is not really understood, that is absolute. That is the message to you. You cannot separate salvation from worship. Thing, one of the things we'll see more, we've made a relationship with God simply a sort of private individual. I have found Jesus. He and I are just buddies, and we're okay. And you know what? It's nice if I can occasionally go to church as well. No. The characteristic of the gospel we'll find going way back in the first chapters of Genesis, particularly in Genesis chapter 4, Adam and Eve, after they sinned and had received the promise of salvation, but were then put out of the garden and were in a situation where living in sin and in a sinful world, you know, very clearly defined there, the ungodly and the godly. But then we read that third son of Adam and Eve, where Eve had responded to God's promise and looked at her son as the seed, and then the first one became a murderer, and obviously the second one is murdered, so the third son, Seth, is now the hope. And we read, with Seth's expression of faith in his own son, then men began. Worship is characteristic of God's people. It is simply what God's people do. Now, obviously, in the province of God, just to touch momentarily, there are times and situations where corporate worship is simply not possible. Perhaps there is immediate threat, sickness, even physically shut in later part in life, etc. But let us be careful that we consider what we consider providential to be prevention. You may have noticed, and if I may take just my prayer, I talked about people in the Philippines. I received an email from one of our students who works with a number of churches in the Philippines, and this past Sunday there were places where the government came in and stopped the worship service. They are restricted to being in their homes, and they've become underground, he said, virtually as a church, because we are more concerned about, using the biblical sense of that term now, fear of God. Think of the shout of victory. If we truly know the victory, whom or what do we fear? Use the word now. It's to sing the new song. what we do. That is to know salvation, to know salvation by means of receiving in worship. Now, let's examine that a bit further. What does that response look like? You will see a bit of different approaches that churches have taken with respect to worship. I've mentioned the three essentials in Psalm 95, but once again, consider the statement, sing a new song. It's not only a shout of victory, but may I say the obvious? It's a song. It's a song. They're singing the shout of victory. It is dealing with the reality of victory. They don't just walk off. If you think for a moment, there may be you perhaps here who think experiencing on a battlefield and all the horribleness, fear to take over. You don't walk off of that battlefield and some words like, hey, we won. An expression of faith that is needed. We express it formally this morning with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's important as well. But for the child of God, it's of the heart. There's a response that's filled with joy and excitement and celebration. For those who were listening to Dr. Godfrey in Sunday school this morning, he talked about the early church worshiping on Sundays. What he didn't mention, I think, is important. The reason they worship on Sundays is because they were celebrating each Lord's Day the resurrection of Christ. In the book of Acts, the followers of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, worship on the first day of the week because of the celebration. First of all, that's what the Psalms are. The Psalms are songs. Great deal. In fact, in this very Psalm in 96, yet to be examined, there's a great deal there about revelation of who God is, truth of God. Carefully, academically, and come to understand here. It is in the occasion of expressing our faith. The God has changed our hearts. He has replaced the heart of stone which is ours by nature, which is filled by the Holy Spirit. One can only respond from the heart. Emotion, both. It's kind of a very interesting thing. When we understand what we are all about, there ought to be tears flowing down our face, and there ought to be excitement and joy at the same time. Do you really understand what God has done for you in salvation? You see, not are the Psalms themselves songs that they sang long time ago about God, but the Psalms were the inspired responses of God's people. They are the inspired responses of God's people. They are a response that God has inspired for how He seeks His people to respond to Him. You cannot read the Psalms and not be impressed with how God values and enjoys song and music. The gift of song is the gift which God gives to His people to speak with God from the heart. It emphasizes the idea of the beauty and the joy and, yes, the celebration. Look, for example, in verse 9. It says, worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. But then more particularly in verse 12, he's let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. I don't know what that's going to be like or what that is like for all the trees in the field to rejoice. But it's a picture of celebration. It's a picture of joy and praise of God. Now, believe me, I want to be very careful lest I be accused of downplaying the importance of the ministry of the Word of God. In Reformed Church, we have always, in Biblical Church, we have always emphasized the centrality, the importance of the ministry of the Word of God spoken. It is and must remain central, of course. But the music that we then have before the sermon and after sermon throughout should not just be something that's, well, sort of, we ought to do a little something else besides hear the sermon, so we tack on some music. The occasion for worship is salvation. The response to the salvation given to you by God is by song. What I mean by that, it is all from the heart. Not the same gift of singing. Believe me, oh, my family reminds me of that very regularly. But the first and great commandment is to love God with all your heart. That can only happen by those who are saved. And it will be expressed. You know, the song has a fair amount to say as to what that response of the heart is really all about. Just to point out a couple of things that yet need to be dealt with very carefully from the psalm, it speaks about revelation. Consider verses 8 and 9. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering. Come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. Through this worship from the heart, the truth of God and who he is made known. His beauty is not an outward physical, it's the beauty of holiness. Certainly the song that we sing needs to be biblical. A biblical understanding of worship is spoken of as a dialogue. We speak in Reformed worship as a dialogical principle. What that means is that God speaks and we respond. We enter into a dialogue with God. Yes. That's extremely important. We don't just make noise by cranking up the microphone or the speakers or so on, but we worship God. But we do so with the greatness of the response of victory. The other thing that is very important to see, part of the response, part of who we are as God's people, simply because of our faith, is to tell others. Your faith is not just something that you say, boy, I'm glad I'm saved. Well, of course it is. But when you know this salvation, you will be equally concerned and through your expression of faith, those out there who have not heard would hear it as well. I certainly do not want to suggest that when you have worshipped, then you have responded to God and now everything else is just sort of life. But the response to salvation begins with the expression of the shout of victory in God's people in celebration of victory. Yes, it's a celebration with respect to, it's a celebration to God. Not necessarily the same if we ever could get into one of those again when the team wins, but it's a different celebration, but it is a celebration. Worship is the response of the saved. I call on you to sing the new song. That is, hear the announcement of the victory celebrate the victory, enjoy the beauty of God, be filled with joy, and the trees in the field in their celebration. And then go live as those who have truly sung the new song. Serve God with your whole life. Fight against the forces of darkness, such as abortion and lawlessness, and we can go on as we see that ever more and more in our world. And then look with great anticipation to once again joining together in singing. Let us pray. God and Father, what a joy. How unworthy we are. What a joy it is to shout the victory that we have in Christ. To sing the new song. Respond by your grace and spirit in our hearts. To worship you. May our worship indeed be pleasing unto you. And may it be a worship which acknowledges you as our Savior, as the God who judges, but who is made known. We do pray.